Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to be talking about not just mind power in a creative sense, but also writing power. Are you a wannabe writer? Have you ever thought of perhaps producing some children's publications? Well, being an author that has done children's publications, and I've went through quite an experience with that, we have an author today, A.J. Fallon, who has got a couple of absolutely fabulous children's books. But we're going to find out also, what does it take to be able to put something like this together? Ms. Fallon, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to be with you, Donna.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, may I call you A.J., or would you prefer not to have me call you that?
Oh, that will be fine. That will be
great.
Fine. That's the way my books are listed, so that would be fine.
Wonderful. Now, AJ, you are out in North Carolina, and your website, which is ajfallon.com, when I went in there to get some information about you, you're a lovely woman, and I really found it wonderful how you got your themes from your stories. But let's talk a little bit about your background. What did you do before you started writing and publishing children's books? And then what caused you to decide that this is something you really wanted to put time, effort, and money into?
Well, I have always wanted to write, and I began to write just for the sheer pleasure of it, never knowing or really even anticipating the possibility that they'll be published. I would write for my own personal satisfaction. Gave me such peace and joy to do that. And I would work on a book when I would get a really good idea. I would sit mm-hmm. down and write a few lines, perhaps maybe a paragraph, and put it away and save it. And then when I would get another idea, I would do the same. And before I knew it, I had an entire book.
Wow. Okay. So you started this. Now, when you decided that you wanted to be published, you know, emphasis on that,
mm-hmm.
things have changed so very, very much. I know when I came out with my children's book in the 90s, it was a whole different environment than it is today.
It really
tell
is.
Tell us what you went through, and which one was your first book, Choo Choo Woody or A Robin's Nest is Best?
Well, actually, A Robin's Nest is Best has just came out within the last 2 or 3 months. Choo Choo Woody, The Little Engine with a Heart, was published in 2008, October, I believe. And it is to be a series. I have another in process to go with the first. But in between, I had A Robin's Nest is Best. I had this adorable little story that I wanted to tell. So the second in series, Choo 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 Woody, will be out as soon as I complete that.
Well, what was it like? Now, is this self-published? Did you go through a publishing house? What did you do?
Well, I did, and what it takes to be a writer is a very thick skin, because you're going to get a lot of rejections at some point, particularly if you're an unknown. Once you become known, it's a great deal easier, but you just have to have persistence and be tenacious in your pursuit. I did publish through Book Surge, which I think the name has changed now to Create Space. But when I went through them, it was called Book Surge.
Mm-hmm.
It was published. They did provide the illustrations, or the artist to do the illustrations, through reading the book and getting a picture of what exactly I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out very well.
Now, with some of my listeners who are going to be wannabes, you're dealing with an illustrated book. And I know that when I did my book, my illustrated book, mm-hmm. and I self-published, I didn't mm-hmm. have a publisher like you, I self-published, but I knew the artist and I know what it's like to go through and to choose it. But let's say someone out there is listening. Both you and I have had experiences, but they are varied. Mm-hmm. When you were working with the publisher, what was the criteria by that publishing company?
Well, it had to be a complete story, of course. It had to be interesting. It had to be of a certain quality. It had to be informative. There were a lot of criteria, but you know, each and every person has a good book in them, whether it's a novel or a children's book. Most people have those stories in them. It's a matter of sitting down and putting it on paper. And if they do that and they are very serious about getting it published, that can be done. So I don't want them to be discouraged. If on their first few attempts it does not get published, keep trying. That's my best advice.
Now, when you made your submissions at the time when you mm-hmm. did this in 2008, did mm-hmm. they want you to make submissions via email or did they want you to do it via snail mail?
Well, I did not do it. I submitted it. Now you submit your copies of the book online. That's more or less the way it's done now. Being sent through the mail is not done all that often anymore. Mm-hmm. You put it in a certain format, Microsoft Word, and it goes in, and it's read. It's either rejected or accepted, and that's the way it is submitted most of the time now. You do not mail it in anymore.
All right. So someone who is wanting to do a children's book, did you research your publishers? Did you go to a particular location on the Internet to find out what publishers were interested in children's material?
Yes, definitely. You want to make sure that when you send a manuscript, you're going to send it to someone that actually publishes your kind of work. Some do not publish children's books, some do not publish novels. So you definitely want to hit your target when you're looking for a publisher, someone that wants your book.
Now, what was your biggest frustration, not just getting rejected, because that is almost a given most of the time,
yes.
but what was your biggest frustration when you were trying to figure out who to submit something to? Did you find it of value to be able to go in and make a phone call? Would they want to hear from you? How did you follow up with them, or how long did it take for you to find out whether they were interested or not?
Well, on many of the submissions that I made, they accept a query letter. You tell them a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the book, and if they're interested, they will send you a letter back. Sometimes they do, sometimes they do not. And mm-hmm. So you may send off quite a few, and some you will hear back from, whether it's a positive response or a negative response of a rejection, or some you just may never hear from again. But you just keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think with it being done via email, that actually is a lot better than having to send out postage and packages like I know I had to do.
Oh, I did that too.
Oh, and my goodness. I mean, that adds up. It doesn't take long. And you can have, I mean, I had like 150, 200 rejections.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that you have to be prepared for. And that's, boy, if your ego is out there on your sleeve or on your chin, you're just going to sit there, cry, and think, well, I shouldn't bother. But I agree with you because there are a lot of different publishers out today. What is the biggest change in the book industry since you have started doing this that you have observed?
Well, I think that the publishers are very, very careful now, probably more selective than ever about the books they publish. The economy is not good right now, but I think that the way they choose books now has changed tremendously. They want to be sure that, of course, you know, they're in the business to make money, that the book has the greatest ability to be successful. And so I think that they are very, very selective now. Mm-hmm. And you just have to keep trying. Just have to keep trying.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, with them picking the artist, when that was submitted to you, did they give you a selection of artists that they recommended, or did they just say, this is the one that's going to have to do it? I mean, how did you handle that? Because that's an entirely different application in a contract.
It certainly is. Well, they with BookSurge, they gave me a selection of about five, and they gave examples of other books that they had illustrated. And, of course, you know, some illustrators are better at inanimate objects. Some are better at drawing animals. Some are better at drawing people. Mm-hmm. You consider what your story is, and you pick the artist that is the best at bringing your particular book to life.
Well,
and that's
your,
what I did.
Yeah, your little book, A Robin's Nest Is Best, the mm-hmm. artist that did this book mm-hmm. really is just wonderful. And when I look at this, what is the artist name that did this?
I'm not sure. Now, I did pick from about five of them. I believe that the artist name will probably be listed in the book or somewhere. I'm not real sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking through the book, and I didn't see it, so that's why I was wanting to know. Because
well,
I really think that this book is just, the artist is just exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they portrayed Rasputin, which is the little raccoon. And I look at Rasputin, and he is just absolutely adorable. Of course, I have a soft spot in my heart for raccoons anyway, because here in the Pacific Northwest, we have an abundance of them. And we've had mama raccoons bring their babies around, and they're just incredible, incredible creatures.
Yes,
now,
they are.
You did, with your stories, what I feel any good author does, and that is your stories came out of particular experiences that you had. What was your personal experience that gave you the foundation for this wonderful book about Rasputin, the raccoon, entitled A Robin's Nest Is Best?
Well, it did come from life experiences. I found a baby robin just a newly hatched with a damaged wing, I think, that had been gotten by a cat. And I felt so very sorry for it. I brought it in and took care of it. At first, it did not, I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to do this. But as time went on, I realized that this little bird was going to survive, and I would take care of him until he could survive on his own. So that particular experience was a real one. And, of course, I did at one point have a pet skunk that I bought at a pet store.
I was going to ask you about Sweet Pea because she's in the book. And anybody that can write as well as this is about this little skunk, I mean, this is really, really cute. So tell us about Sweet Pea.
Okay. Well, my little pet skunk, actually her name was Blossom, but and for the book's purposes, I changed it to Sweet Pea. They very much in character, the stomping of the feet and the warning. I had firsthand knowledge of how they actually behave. So when I put her in the story, that her behavior is extremely accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I do draw from my life experiences and also, too, from just absolutely just observing both people and animals. And I think that you learn so much, you just sit quietly and just watch.
Mm-hmm.
And from that will come many, many good ideas that you can use later.
I agree. And one of the facts of observation about your book that I really, really like is that for children, you present different points of information. If you're going to take something on, you finish the job. You take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
If something is dependent upon you, like this little bird, Rasputin gets this little bird, the bird's egg first, and then to his surprise, there's this little creature that comes out of it, and he has to figure out what is he going to do, and boy, it's a lot of work. But all of this is portrayed in a way where a child, when they're listening to the story, there's a reinforcement for what I feel is positive behavior. Children love stories. Let's face it, we all love stories. But when you're little and you can have the visuals, like you've got this one section where you got baby ducks in here in an illustration and a mama bunny and her baby bunnies, and there's just all kinds of things. The children have this visual relationship, and then they hear the words, and that just goes along very, very nicely.
Well, thank you so much. And when I was writing this, I realized that children love a rhythm and a rhyming pattern, and that also helps them to learn, to make some makes them want to finish the book, and it just makes it so much more interesting. So I do tell the stories in the confines of a rhyming rhythm pattern, and I believe that both of the books, both Choo Choo Woody, The Little Engine with the Heart, and A Robin's Nest is Best, are loaded with absolute moral values, I think, that any parent would want their child to learn. For example, Choo Choo Woody, it emphasizes love of home and family, willingness to help others, sometimes at great cost. Work ethic, that whatever job you have, you do the absolute best you can. And with A Robin's Nest is Best, it's respect for nature. It's that consequences have choices have consequences, and sometimes those consequences or choices will give you responsibility sometimes you don't want, but you do the best you can. So each one of those stories has several little moral lessons in there that are very apparent. And
Go ahead.
Oh, and as I said, I think that the children will get that. These are lessons that we need to start very young, and the children get them. They really do.
Yes, they do. And they listen. And when they like a story, they usually like to have it read to them again and again and again, which I think sometimes to a parent or a babysitter, it's like, please, I just read this to you. Do I have to do it again? Yeah, I want it again.
Right. Yes, you almost feel like hiding the book. You've read it so many times.
That's right. It'll end up getting that worn thumb look to the edges of it, but that's what a book is for. A book is meant to be handled. Now, you got your idea for Choo Choo Woody from an actual museum. Tell us about this museum in North Carolina.
Okay. The North Carolina Transportation Museum in Spencer, which is just a few miles up the road from Salisbury, where I live. My husband was a volunteer engineer out there, and so I had a lot of time on my own while I was waiting for him. And I just walked around, and I looked at both the rolling stock and the static displays. And I began to see all of the trains as characters with their own distinct personalities. And Choo Choo Woody, the little engine with a heart, there is a real little steam engine, very old, of course, which is on display out there, that is made out of wood, and it has a cast iron boiler, and the name of it is the Raleigh. So from that particular display, Choo Choo Woody was conceived. And,
now,
of course, given a personality, then you put those two together, and you have a character.
Well, I think what you've just said is very important for people to remember when they're writing, to allow the stories to flow through you, to put them down. And one of the things I think I would say to someone that really has a very vivid imagination when you're writing children's books, that to me it's like seeing pictures in the head. And like you said, you looked at that train, and it had a personality, and all of a sudden it had this name, and it came together in your head. And it's important to write it down as it's flowing through you. Do you usually carry a notepad with you wherever you go so you can make notes?
Sometimes I do, but most of the time I just kind of file them away in my head and say, hey, this is good, and I'm going to remember this. And then when I get time, I write it down. It's usually more successful if you do take a pad and a pen with you or a pencil and write it down. But thankfully, I have a good memory, so I can just recall it when I need to.
When you publish a book, it's one of the most exciting feelings you can ever have when you are accepted by a publisher. And so many times people think, wow, you're published, that's it, that's wonderful. What people don't realize is that you actually have to go out and promote your own book.
Absolutely.
It is something that demands a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. Now, with this children's book, did you go, I mean, here's your second one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go into schools to promote your first one? How did you work with your publicity and your marketing with this?
Okay. Well, I had my book signing for Choo Choo Woody, The Little Engine with a Heart, out at the North Carolina Transportation Museum. And, of course, I thought that was a very fitting place to do that. And, it sees people from all over the world that they come out. And I did sign and I did a little story reading out there for them, and they loved that, and I am scheduled to go back and do another, I believe, on March 17th or 19th. I'm not sure which now, but I'll be doing a second book signing out there. But, yes, you do. You can take your book to the libraries. You can make them aware that you have one out there. Matter of fact, this is a very, very simple way to promote your book, but I even have a copy of my book sitting in one of the post offices here with a little sign that has my name on it where the book can be published. So anybody that goes into the post office sees my book.
Boy, that's a nice post office. That's pretty cool.
It is, and they have my second one sitting up there with the first now. So it's one of the privately little owned post offices. It's not the main one downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But still and all, a lot of people go through there, and they see that. And, of course, a website is always a good idea. If you get your own website, anybody plugging in children's books, if you put enough tags on your book, they're going to come across your website, and then you get the opportunity to show them what the book is about, and in my case, the movie trailer.
That is so well done. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I looked at that, and I thought, this is marvelous. Now, how did you go about getting that movie trailer done?
Okay. Well, it was something that was offered. It was a service that was offered through BookSurge, which is now CreateSpace. And you have the option to get that or to pass on it. And I thought, what an excellent idea. It was not done for Choo Choo Woody, and I wish that it had been available then, but I don't think it was. But for this one, it gets a lot of views. So
mm-hmm.
It is definitely a very good tool to have to make people aware of your book.
Well, that is absolutely amazing, because I was unaware that publishing houses even offered that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a tremendous promotional tool, especially in today's world.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean, it's
also
really
on. It's also on YouTube. It can be if you plug in anything to do with birds or nests or anything that would be anywhere similar, this video will pop up. So,
wow.
It is a very valuable tool to have.
Well, I think that is incredible. Now, with the Robin's Nest is Best, this has just come out.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your schedule like for the promotion of the book? It has come out. It's really good timing because it's springtime.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you plan your marketing strategies with a children's book?
Well, I make anybody that I think would be interested in children's books or promoting children's books, they're sent a letter, they're made aware of it. Book signings are a good idea. Visit the libraries, visit any place that has to do with children's literature. Just make yourself known and show them a copy of your book, and if you're very lucky, they will mention it or read it or pass it on to someone that may be interested in buying more copies of the book.
Also, too, something that I would mention, and perhaps it would benefit you as well, is the PTA. There is a national PTA organization, and usually in every state in the larger communities, they will have meetings once a year, and you can go in, and these are families that are homeschooling, that are really wanting to be very much aware of products that they can bring into their home for their children. And that is also something that's a very good PR type of venue. And also it allows you to have that interaction in an environment where education is extremely important and emphasized on very intense levels, which your book, it would just be wonderful in that kind of an environment.
Right.
You've got a series now. So how many at this time do you think you're going to end up having? I mean, do you have more in the can, so to speak, that are ready to go to press?
Yes, the second one is outlined. I know where it's going. It will be coming out. There'll be possibly three or four, but I will know when it's time to end it. But this little book, Choo Choo Woody, The Little Engine with a Heart, has so many possibilities and so many ways in which it can go.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as it's very well received and people like it, I'll try to continue on with that series.
Well, that is just wonderful. Now, I know my audience, there are those that are wanting to be writers, or maybe they even have a friend that would just have fabulous stories that they would like to see in print.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you have done and the people that you've worked with have really done something very well. On your website, ajfallon.com, that's AJFALLON,
mm-hmm.
you have the opportunity for people to buy the book, and there is a discount that you offer. You have a special code that's in the shopping cart. So all of the information regarding yourself and a little of your background and these two wonderful books, Choo Choo Woody, The Little Engine with a Heart, and A Robin's Nest is Best, really are going to be books that I think could be passed on. They're beautifully done. The art in it is just outstanding. And I think that if you have a chance to look, those of you listening, have a chance to look at the trailer, you'll be very impressed with the quality of this short video that really gives you actual visual of what you're going to see in the book. So it's a wonderful, wonderful publication. Before we close out, AJ, what would you like to say to my audience regarding perhaps becoming a writer or giving them some kind of encouragement to not feel that their creative concepts are silly or stupid?
Well, when you write a book, in your heart, I think you know that this is good. This deserves to be read. It deserves to be heard. Write it, keep it, and continue to try. It's very, very difficult when you're an unknown to get that first olive out of the bottle, so to speak. But once that happens, your confidence is increased. People are more willing to take you seriously, to listen to you. Just keep trying. And you will get rejections. And I think every person that's ever written anything, that's tried to have it published, has gone through that. But what you do, what separates you from the rest, is that you do not give up. You say, well, this one didn't like it as well as you thought they should, but that's only one opinion. Keep trying, go to another. And if you really have confidence in your book and in the product you're trying to sell, don't let anyone tell you that it shouldn't be published. Keep trying, and you'll be successful.
Well, A.J. Fallon. She's got two books to her credit. Another one is coming together, and even more after that. So just realize there's always going to be a place for what you put together, and as she said, just don't give up. A.J. Fallon, thank you so very much. Your books, Choo Choo Woody, The Little Engine with a Heart, A Robin's Nest is Best, they're both delightful, and I so appreciate giving tips, your giving tips, to my listeners, because that's what it's all about. For those of us that have walked the path, I always think it's good to share, and I want to thank you for being my guest today.
And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a little bit. Don't go away. I've got more good things to share. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
We're back! The Northwest Women's Show with 400 exhibits, entertainment, seminars, the Glow Experience, fashion shows, and shopping, shopping, shopping. Meet HGTV's Terry Haas, animal communicator Polly Klein, and Seattle's hottest firefighters. March 4th through 6th at Questfield Event Center. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I want to take this opportunity to thank those of you that are sending me some of the most incredible video bits or, you know, programs of information. It is incredible. And what I've started to do is include them in my newsletters when I can. I try to have one or two, sometimes three little bits so you can go and view certain things. And when you go into my newsletter, you're going to find little short articles in there and saying, go check this video out because of certain spectacular things. I was just sent yesterday by one of my readers a video clip on a revolutionary process for people who are burn victims. This is absolutely phenomenal. And one of my previous guests that had experienced a horrific accident, Allison Massari, and her story was just incredible. I sent this off to her because she had been burned so badly over her entire body and has still got to go through grafts every once in a while. And this is a process that's just incredible. So that's going to be in my next newsletter. And I want to thank you, because for those of you that are sending me these items, they are so special, and there's not enough hours in the day for me to find out about a lot of these things. And these stories of innovations, of accomplishments that people are achieving, it's absolutely wonderful. So this is all about a spray-on type of substance that enables the body to have a skin recovering, and the results are just absolutely awesome for burn victims. So that's something that's going to be coming out in the upcoming newsletter. Also, I wanted to remind you, I know you're hearing the spots regarding the Northwest Women's Show. So for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, I want you to know a couple of things. One, I've got the Women's Forum that I'm hosting on Friday, March the 4th. I have six speakers, and you will find in the program when you come out to the show where the stage is going to be, where I will be bringing these women to you. The first hour, we're going to be talking about quantum health and healing. The second hour, we're going to be talking about animals and communication with animals, etc. The third hour, we're going to be talking about law and protection for juveniles and also women that experience domestic violence. So we've just got a great lineup of very professional, together people, and it's just a privilege for me to be able to do this. This is my third year of doing it. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be giving a talk, and the topic is the psychic mind and you. And it will be at 1:30 on Saturday and 1 o'clock on Sunday. And, of course, I'm in booth number 407. I'm going to have a plethora of books, and I hope you'll stop by and say hello, because there's just so many good things that are going to be going on. And I want to say, too, the Emerald Spiral, I'm going to be appearing there, and there's more information about that that will be upcoming. And we'll be talking to someone from the Emerald Spiral next month, but that's March 26th. That's a single-day event at Kitten Commons. So we'll be giving you more information about that as we get closer to it. Now, tomorrow, well, don't forget, if you want to give me a buzz today, 888-815-9756. Those telephone lines are open if you'd like to chat with me. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Bob about a drugless guide to balancing female hormones. If we are really astute, we realize that understanding a woman's chemistry is really a challenge. It's only been in the last, I'd say 10, 15 years that they've really been making strides forward. They've tried using all kinds of things through the years, and now they're seeing the results, the side effects of some of the things that were doled out so liberally years ago, and they're realizing that it's causing results that are not positive at all. So we're going to find out what you can do to balance the hormonal system in the woman's body. And for you guys that are going to be listening, it's important for you to understand this, because you may be able to give information to a woman that is going to be going into that cycle of her life and just wondering what she would do. And by golly, there is an answer. So Dr. Bob is going to be with us tomorrow. And then I want to give you a brief lineup of the people that are coming on next week. Stuck with Mr. Wrong? Oh, this book is a hoot. Amy Beth O'Brien is going to be with me on Monday. Strength Training for Women, Joan Pagano. Awesome, awesome publication. Then we're going to get into UFOs on a Wednesday of next week, T.L. Keller. And then Spencer Lord, The Brain Mechanic. Aha, that should be a tantalizing topic. And then A Cup of Cappuccino, Women Entrepreneurs. Ah, yes, Jaretta Hornard is going to be with us. And this is just a terrific week coming up. So mark it down. And if you need to go in to the show information section for the Donna Sebo Show, you'll find a brief write-up about that. And also, if you'd like to get my newsletter, just send me an email at donna@delphiinternational.com, and then that way I will be able to put you to on the mailing list so that you get it. It's free, and you'll be able to see a listing of guests there, and usually I pick out the three top ones that are very specifically unique and different that I think you might enjoy. So there's all of that information and more in my monthly newsletter. And don't forget, you can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you can see the newsletter. The newsletter that I mail out is one format, and what's put up on the web is another. So check it out, and tell a friend, and anybody can download the material. I don't mind at all. Now, because we were talking about children's book, I thought I would share a story with you about a teacher. And this was sent to me by Margaret, and I really thought that this was something that was just too good not to share. So I wanted to give it to you. It's a true story, And it's all about love and perseverance. So Mildred Honor is the woman that wrote the story. And she said she's a former elementary school music teacher from Des Moines, Iowa. And she's always supplemented her income by teaching piano lessons, and she's been doing this for well over 30 years. Now, during the years that she was doing this, she found that children have many levels of musical ability, and even though she never had what she'd call a prodigy, she's taught some extremely talented children. She said she's also had students that were musically challenged, and one particular pupil, it's this pupil she writes about, and the pupil's name is Robbie. Now, apparently, Robbie was 11 years old when his mom, who was single, dropped him off for his first piano lesson. And she said she really likes her students to start young. The younger they are, the better it is. And she said, especially with boys, if they start later, they're not going to be conscientious or attentive. Well, Robbie said it had always been his mother's dream to hear him play the piano. So she decided, Mildred did, that she was going to take him as a student. Well, he started his piano lessons, and from the beginning, she thought, oh, dear, what do I have here? Because it just wasn't working well at all. He had no sense of tone, no sense of rhythm, but he was consistent. He would do his scales, and he would play some of the basic beginning piano pieces that are always given to children. And she required her students to memorize them and learn them. And she said over the months, he would do it again and again and again. Every time he'd play, she just sort of cringed because she felt that this was a child that just didn't have any musical talent. But she still encouraged him. Now, at the end of each of his lessons, he'd always say, my mom's going to hear me play someday. But she just said to herself, oh, dear, 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 dear. She's going to be one very disappointed mom. He did not have any ability for music, as far as Mildred was concerned. Now, Mildred didn't know the mother very well, and she didn't interact very much with Mildred. And she always waved and smiled when she'd come and pick up Robbie, but she never, ever came into Mildred's home. She just waited for her son. Well, one day, Robbie stopped coming for his lessons, and Mildred thought she'd call him, but just assumed that because he really had no musical ability that he decided to do something else. And she was, in a way, relieved that he had stopped coming because she thought, oh, this is not a good example of my teaching capabilities. Now, something came up. A few weeks later, after Robbie had stopped coming, she mailed a flyer recital to all of her students' homes. Now, she was quite surprised. Robbie, of course, had received a flyer. He asked her if he could be in the recital. And she said, well, you know, Robbie, it's for current pupils, and you had dropped out of the lessons, so you really don't qualify. And he said, you know, my mom's been sick, and she hasn't been able to take me to my lessons, but I had been practicing, he said. So he said, please, Miss Honor, I've just got to play. Well, she didn't have the heart to turn him down. She said she didn't know what it was. It was just this feeling that she had. She said maybe it was because he was so insistent, but something told me it was the right thing to do, and it would all turn out just fine. Well, the night of the recital comes around, and it was held in the local high school gymnasium in Iowa, and it was packed. You can imagine all the parents, all the relatives and friends, everybody was there to support the students. Now, she did something with Robbie that was a little bit unexpected. She put him as the very last performer in the program. And she said, it was just before I was to come up and thank all the students and play a finishing piece myself. I thought that any damage he might do would come at the end of the program, and I would be able to salvage this poor performance through my curtain closer. Ah, this is a woman that thinks ahead. Well, this recital went along just beautifully. The students were excited. They had been practicing, and their skills just shined. Then Robbie, it was his turn. and he came up on stage. His clothes were wrinkled. His hair was an absolute mess. Ruby pretty much looked like a slob. And her first thought is, why wasn't he dressed up like the other students? Why didn't his mother at least make him comb his hair for the special night? We're going to take a break. We'll come back with the rest of the story after the break. I think you're going to be surprised at what happens here. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
It's time to get your glow on at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 4 entertainment stages, fascinating seminars, and best of all, shopping, shopping, shopping. New this year is the Glow Experience. 5 fun and easy steps to help you make the most of your time at the show. Meet Terry Haas from HGTV's Design to Sell. Polly Klein, famous animal communicator. Dance diva Chris Linares, who will help you unleash all the power you need to dance your own dance. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule. And they're back! Seattle's hottest firefighters. Bring your mom, your daughter, your sister, your friends. The Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Drugstore.com, American Family Insurance, BECU, Como TV, Beauty.com, and Green Smoke. It's electric. Get your glow on at Questfield Event Center March 4th through 6th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Well, before we went on break, I was talking to you about this young boy, Robbie. He's at this recital. He is just looking a mess. He walks up to the piano. The poor teacher is so embarrassed, and she's got all kinds of questions running through her mind, but she doesn't do anything. She doesn't say anything because this is Robbie's moment. Robbie goes up to the piano, pulls out the piano bench, and was she shocked when he announced that he had chosen to play Mozart's Concerto No. 21 in C major. Now remember, this is a boy that was lousy in class. I mean, there was not a hope or a prayer this kid would even be able to play the piano. So a Mozart's Concerto No. 21 in C major? She was not prepared for what happened next. Robbie's fingers were light on the keys. They just seemed to dance over them. He went from pianissimo to fortissimo, from allegro to virtuoso. His suspended chords that Mozart demands were incredibly magnificent. Never in all of her years as a teacher had she ever heard Mozart played so well by anyone of his age. After he played for 6.5 minutes, he ended in this grand crescendo. The audience, everyone in the audience was standing on their feet. They were cheering him. The applause was deafening. She was just overcome by the magnificence of his performance. She was in tears. She ran up on the stage, put her arms around Robbie, and said, "I've never heard you play like that, Robbie. How did you do it?" For the listener that I know you're waiting, let me finish the story. Robbie had the microphone in front of him, and he said, "Well, Miss Honor, remember I told you that my mom was sick? Well, she actually had cancer and passed away this morning. And, well, she was born deaf. So tonight was the first time she'd ever heard me play, and I wanted to make it special." Mildred said there wasn't a dry eye in the house that evening. The people from social services took Robbie from the stage because he had to go to foster care, and she said they were crying. Their eyes were red and puffy. She thought to herself then how much richer her life had been for taking Robbie as a pupil. She said, "I've never had a prodigy, but that night I became a prodigy of Robbie. He was the teacher and I was the pupil, for he had taught me the meaning of perseverance and love and believing in yourself. And maybe even taking a chance on someone and you didn't know why." Now, she adds a little bit of a sad note. Robbie was killed years later in the senseless bombing of the Alfred P. Murray Federal Building in Oklahoma City in April 1995. But Robbie's story lives on because Mildred wrote about it. That's how important writing is. Stories live when you put it into print and you share it with others, just like I've shared it with you today. Donna Sebo here. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hello, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. How's it
How
in Connecticut?
You? Oh, today is a fairly warm day. First
good
one in
deal.
A long time.
Good, 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 good. All right, Pat, first thing that I am looking at with you, and I notice our time is getting pretty tight here. The first thing I'm looking at with you is you're going to need to be patient and deal with details in a way over the next 3 months that you would just as soon not have to be bothered with, but it is going to be important. So I don't know if this is actual paper material or something else that this is involving, but detail is where the focus needs to be. Assume nothing. Assume nothing. Do what needs to be done and follow through. If you have to put reminders on a computer for yourself, do it, or put post-it notes all over the place. But whatever it takes, stay on track, pay attention to detail, and you're going to find that things will level out in about 3 months, and you're just going to go, "I'm so glad I'm past that cycle." What would you like to ask me today?
I've spoken to you in the past about this dog that I rescued. I had one of the worst days today with him, and you told me that I need to do a lot of training. I feel a little better. I spoke to a kinesiologist that told me he's got corn allergies and certain things to give him to calm his mind. But today I got to the point where I was wondering if I was going to need to put him down. He's got fear, aggression, and he's an escape artist. And once he gets out...
I don't think you need to put him down, hon. What you need to do is understand that this is an animal that has been traumatized. And just like with a child that has been traumatized, you have to earn his trust. And this is going to take patience. And if he's a high-energy dog, you have to realize you may need to have someone actually give him training and take him out on runs, where he is going to be able to expend this energy. And it is going to take some assistance from someone else to assist you with this animal. This is a very fine animal. What's his name?
Chance.
Chance is a good dog. But he's how old?
2.
All right, he's 2. He's young enough you can retrain him. But it's
okay.
going to take patience. You are going through the process of learning, just like he is. So realize you're both in the same boat. And he picks up a lot on your emotions and your agitation, and so that just compounds things. So you need to realize that you have to have a calmness. You have to also be aware that he reads into your mindset. He feels you. He smells any change in your disposition.
Okay.
But this is a good animal. This is not an animal that needs to be put down. He's only two, and he just needs to have constant reinforcement. So just talk to him and say, you know what, I guess I'm going to have to learn some things too. So we'll both be a teacher to each other. But you need someone that's accustomed to dealing with animals that have been traumatized. Hun, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go. I'm out of time.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Bless
Pat.
You.
Sorry I had to make it
Love
so
you.
Short, dear. This is Donna Sebo. Bye-bye. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you so much for being with me today. It's always a delight having you join me. We'll be back same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Donna Sebo, bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.